You're listening to The Trend.
And the spring has turned to summer, and it's time to slow back down and ride the wave that brought you here and turn that cell phone down. You can watch the clouds a-moving or take a morning stroll. You can pack your family band, drop all of your plans, hit the festival and romp the night away.
That was Phoebe Hunt performing last night at Romp in Owensboro. Today's program, we are giving you a shot of Kentucky's signature industry. And no, I'm not talking about bourbon. It's the 11th annual Romp Bluegrass Roots and Branches Festival, and we're sampling different sounds and sights on today's program. The homegrown summer music festival has blossomed into an award-winning music destination for bluegrass enthusiasts and for those just itching to reconnect with their American roots. And so to help us get a feel for the evolution of Romp, we have Chris Love on the phone. He's the Romp Committee Chair. Hi there, Chris. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm doing great. It's a beautiful day here in Yellow Creek Park.
Oh, that it is. No rain yesterday, I hear.
It was absolutely perfect. We did manage to avoid the rain, and temperatures were pretty mild, and it was a great night, and two more great days coming up.
Well, Chris, clue us in. How did you get involved with Romp? Was there an early love of bluegrass in your story?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, growing up in Kentucky, we're 30 miles from the home place of Bill Monroe, so we're all exposed to bluegrass at a pretty early age. But what kind of brought me in, I think when I first heard John Hartford play, it was kind of all over for me. I love bluegrass music ever since then. And it's just kind of grown from there. I've loved being involved in Romp. This is my third year of chairing the festival, and we've made some pretty big changes to it, and it's gone very well. So we're very proud, and hopefully it'll continue to do well.
And were you around for the first Romp?
I was in attendance, but not involved with the museum.
Well,
yeah.
Walk us back way back when. What was it like 11 years ago?
11 years ago, it was obviously it was much smaller. It was down on the river, a very traditional bluegrass lineup that was very strong. But since then, we've branched out what we call the roots and branches of bluegrass music, and kind of incorporating some other genres of bluegrass and acoustic roots music, and it's been very well received.
Yeah, and certainly this year, some of the performers really stretched the genre. There's some electric elements, and even one band has a tinge of R&B to it. It's very interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Wood Brothers last night, for example, played, and they're what I would call Americana music, but definitely not bluegrass, but it was very well received. We had a huge crowd, and everybody looked to be enjoying it immensely, so we're very happy.
Well, I hear the attendance this year is expected to reach about 25,000. Did you ever anticipate that it would grow to this enormity?
No, but it's just one of those things we didn't really know what happened. Just give you a little history. It was pretty traditional bluegrass festival until 2011, which happened to be the centennial year of Bill Monroe's birth. It was his 100th birthday, and that year we had a Bill Monroe centennial celebration in September, and we had all the living members of the Bluegrass Hall of Fame and many of the pioneers of bluegrass here in Owensboro to perform. And because of that, we were able to shift the focus of the Romp Festival from just traditional bluegrass and expand it out into the roots and branches that I spoke about. So it worked out very well. And our attendance has grown from probably 5,000 or so in those early years to 21,000 last year. And hey, if we hit the 25,000 this year, we'll be ecstatic.
Well, and along with that attendance, the expected income's about $550,000. Does that money goes toward the International Bluegrass Museum? Is that going to support the expansion in downtown Owensboro?
No, not really. This is a fundraiser for the International Bluegrass Music Museum, and our charge, our mission is preserving the history of bluegrass music and promoting it. So we have lots of programs, bluegrass in the schools, to artifacts, to the video oral history where we've interviewed the living pioneers of bluegrass, all those types of things. And that's what this fundraiser will help support, the programs and the mission of the Bluegrass Music Museum. The center, which we're very proud of and very active in fundraising for that, that's a separate fundraiser altogether.
Well, and the festival itself kind of has a tinge of that. I mean, the musicians, you can have a workshop with, you know, a star-studded lineup of teachers. You know, Pokey Lafarge is teaching songwriting, and I know Sam Bush is teaching a workshop tonight. So it's just amazing how, despite how much Romp has grown, it still has a community feel to it. You know, people reclining in hammocks and kids sliding down mudslides. And how do you think this is possible to maintain that feeling as it grows?
Well, that's our biggest challenge. Is we've created something very special, and our challenge is to keep it special. So we do like the size. I know, you know, there's that, a lot of times there's the drive to grow things and make more money, and that's all well and good because it supports our mission and our cause. But we want to keep it to a moderate size festival where we can provide those types of family fun entertainment things for our attendees, and so we're hopeful that we'll be able to continue that. We hear that. I heard that a lot yesterday from people that travel here, and they say, you know, the thing about Romp is the people that are working and volunteering. They come around and they actually care about the people that are here, and we take good care of them. 2 years ago, we had, you'll remember, I'm sure, just extreme heat. It was 105 degrees all week. And everywhere I went, I asked people, are you doing okay? And everybody had such a great attitude, and everybody was fine. They were hot, but they were fine. And we didn't have any issues. People hydrated and did what they were supposed to do and took good care of each other. So we're real happy with that atmosphere and that communal spirit that we have here.
A little bit of that Kentucky hospitality, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Good Southern hospitality.
That's right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for talking with me. Good luck to you, and I'll possibly see you tomorrow.
Okay, we'll look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
All right. That was Chris Love, committee chair of the Romp Bluegrass Festival. As I touched upon briefly with our conversation, a capital campaign continues in Owensboro, where officials plan to build a bigger bluegrass museum and a bluegrass Opry. WNIN's John Gibson joins us now in the studio with the latest.
That's right, Cass. I just talked with Terry Woodward. He's the current treasurer and past president of the International Bluegrass Music Museum in Owensboro. Now, you told me this new project carries a price tag of about $12 million.
We currently have raised $8 million, a little over $8 million. Now, $1 million of that is actually going to be for an endowment. So we're a little shy of needing, you know, $4-point-something million to have the project totally funded.
Now, do you need all of the money up front before the project can move forward?
I don't think so. I think the city's probably going to be comfortable realizing that the fundraising efforts right now have really been confined to Owensboro and Davis County, primarily because we've had no renderings to go outside of Owensboro and seek naming opportunities, you know, from different corporations.
Mm-hmm.
We're currently designing those plans. We have our preliminary plans finished. We're getting our footprint down. We kind of know what the components are going to be, what size. So very shortly, we can go outside of Davis County and do fundraising from the entire bluegrass community and corporate sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel confident that in a matter of a few months, we can have all the money pledged or in the bank.
I see. Now, I know there's a small performance area in the existing museum, but I'm guessing you're envisioning a much larger venue, right?
Yes. Right now, the plans call for a 500-seat, thereabout, state-of-the-art theater. And I mean state-of-the-art.
Yeah. What are some of the components you mentioned there? Can you sort of paint a picture of the venue?
Well, we'll probably triple the size of our current floor space of the museum we have now. we're going to, since we're raising the state building, we're going to add a third floor to the new project and have a restaurant on top that will have outside, inside, outside seating, which will, you know, sort of overlook the river.
Now, this is an existing building there in Owensboro, right?
It's the what we call the old state building. Our initial plans was to retrofit that building, you know, and not tear it down.
Uh-huh.
But it just really didn't work. We just couldn't make it work. And quite frankly, when we did the numbers, it was going to be cheaper to take that building down and build new.
I see.
And be much more efficient, too.
Now, would you, I know some people have referred to this as maybe a bluegrass Opry. Is that something you're calling it?
Our plans, well, our plans is to have a bluegrass Opry every Saturday night, emulating the Grand Ole Opry in Nashville for country music. We'll be a clone of that, I suppose.
Yes.
Only it'll be bluegrass music. And our plans are is to webcast that all over the world every Saturday night.
I see. It's a very high-tech approach, huh?
Yes, that's why we really have to have a state-of-the-art theater with, you know, the best sound, lighting, video that we can get, because if someone in Japan is going to watch it on Saturday night, they want a good picture. You know, they can stream it, and there'll be a charge for streaming that, and that's what will really help maintain and fund the museum.
Right.
Museums typically, obviously, don't make money. So we're designing this one where we can have events there that will generate revenue.
In addition to this Bluegrass Opry, what kind of events would be held there at the new center?
Well, other nights, other than Saturday night, we can have other music venues. I mean, we hope to, you know, have other shows there that has blues, Cajun music, gospel, jazz. With the theater, there's a lot of pieces, a lot of events that it'd be designed that we could hold there other than the Bluegrass Opry will be the mainstay. That's every week. You know, you come to Owensboro, you're going to be able to see, have, be entertained with bluegrass music. We'll have in the museum space, we may even have a smaller theater there that maybe seats 80 people or something, where we can sort of have music, you know, randomly throughout the week.
I see.
For going through the museum.
Now, you mentioned you're still trying to raise about $4 million. How can people contribute?
Well, we have a website. If you go to bluegrassmuseum.org, we have a mechanism there that you can contribute. Obviously, through the museum here in Owensboro, we're trying to do more marketing now to the bluegrass community, now that we have some preliminary plans that, you know, we can show people what's actually happening.
Right.
But right now, quite frankly, I guess the website's the best avenue to do that.
And, of course, with ROMP going on, do you folks solicit donations at ROMP?
We have. We're announcing from the stage, and we have some of the renderings out there. We have pledge forms out there, and we obviously from the stage telling them what's happening in Owensboro and love for them to be a part of it.
That's Terry Woodward telling us about the effort to build a bigger bluegrass center complete with a bluegrass Opry theater in Owensboro, Kaz.
Oh, thanks for joining me, John. That
sure.
That was great. Well, you know, John, something I've been looking into over the past few months,
yes,
is this new generation of bluegrass musicians rising up. I'm talking about mid-20s, mid-30s.
Right.
who seem to be putting their own stamp on the genre. And of course, this music festival, it's called the Bluegrass Roots and Branches. So it's accompanying all these different kind of variations of bluegrass.
Sure, certainly not just traditional bluegrass.
Sure, sure. So I wanted to take a step back and have a listen for a moment to this song from last night, Blue Moon of Kentucky. Let's see if you can pick out the voices singing in this song. Any guesses?
You've stumped me. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to put you on the spot, John. Well, that first one Paul Williams was the first guy. The second was Del McCurry, of course, two pioneers or legends in their own right. Uh-huh. So I just wanted to kind of remind us, take us back. That's kind of the original sound of bluegrass, but where it seems to be changing more and more is, you know, musicians are picking up new instruments or even experimenting with other genres, pulling in a little bit of blues or the Wood Brothers even, they use what they call a shitar.
Can we say that on public radio?
We can. It's an instrument.
I see.
but coming up, we're going to play a clip from the Boston Boys, who do. They have that electric element. Sometimes it even sounds a little bit spatial, if you will. Mm-hmm. Just a different spin on the genre, which I wanted to give the listeners a sense of the evolution.
Looking forward to it.
We'd like to bring some very, very special guests up to the stage. Y'all saw her earlier. Miss Phoebe Hunt's going to come sing a tune with us. And on the cello, the Snee Goblin, Rashad Eggleston. From the Brotet, who you're going to see tomorrow on this stage at 6 o'clock on mandolin, Dominic Leslie.
I believe Rashad is playing a set right after this set.
Party.
Over there.
Have I
Hunt, everybody.
That was the Boston Boys performing with Phoebe Hunt last night at Romp. And we have a special guest coming up on the program. But in the meantime, we're waiting to get that phone call in. We're going to have a listen to the Wood Brothers, who also performed last night. They're Americana roots music, and they have their own very interesting sound. Oh, it looks like we got the phone ringing. We have a very special guest on the line who will be performing on Saturday. But in the meantime, let's take a quick break.
Support comes from the New Harmony Music Festival and School, taking place July 7th through the 13th. Celtic and classical concerts and workshops in the historic venues of New Harmony, Indiana. Details at newharmonymusicfest.com or 812-472-4321. The New Harmony Music Festival and Day School, sharing light in children. Support comes from Evansville Day School, now accepting children 3 years of age by September 15th, in their junior pre-kindergarten program. Half-day, full-day, and extended care options are available. Learn more about Evansville Day School's preschool program, like global language, outdoor learning, and the arts at 812-476-3039 or www.evansvilledayschool.org.
Well, you can't talk about the evolution of bluegrass these days without throwing in a little something about Old Crow Medicine Show. And on the line with me right now is Critter Fuqua. He plays slide guitar, banjo, and vocals for the band. Critter, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for taking my call. Have you made it to the land of the bluegrass yet?
We'll be up there tomorrow.
Awesome. And where are you now?
I'm in Nashville, Tennessee.
Well, you got quite a drive ahead of you, and I know you all have been so busy. Your latest album just dropped, what, last week?
It has not dropped yet.
Oh.
it drops on the 1st of July.
There we go. Well, good timing. And that album's called Remedy, and it is so danceable. Did you all have that in mind when you first sat down to produce the record?
I don't know that we had much in the way. I think it's almost guaranteed when we make some music together, it'll be danceable.
Sure. And I know this ain't your first rodeo. How many romp festivals have you been to?
We did the first romp festival a couple of years ago.
And does it have any particular meaning for you and the band, or any significance when you come back and perform in, I don't know, the land of bluegrass, where all the genesis happened?
Kentucky is a great state for us. I mean, it's so close. I mean, it's only just a couple hours to Owensboro, and we've played Louisville a lot, and you know, I mean, bluegrass was born in Kentucky, and I don't know. It's this whole region is, you know, it feels home to play in Kentucky.
Well, one of the things I've been investigating is the evolution, the changing styles and sounds of bluegrass, and there appears to be some very new things emerging with particularly the younger musicians like the Boston Boys or Pokey Lafarge. Where do you see your band's role in this evolution? Are you kind of a continuation of the older guard from the classics like Stanley Brothers or Joe Monroe or Dell? Or where do you see your identity fitting in?
I think we're definitely a link in the chain. And I'm so happy to know some of the guys from the old guard, like Ricky Skaggs and Del McCurry Band. And, you know, and we're taking that music and just making it, you know, relevant for us and the newer generation, I think, just like they did back in the day. And, you know, because at one time, this roots music was brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So it has always been old. So you got to reinvent it for yourself. And you know, I think we're a link in a chain, you know?
Well, I'd say that's a very humble way to put it. You've definitely launched the genre forward with broad appeal. So I'm very thankful to have you on the phone. But what, I guess, what do you see happening for the future of this next generation of bluegrass? Do you have any kind of anticipation of what's going to happen? Is there going to be possibly even a new genre branching out?
I don't know. I don't think like that. This kind of stuff, when you involve generations and music, and it's going to take its own course. And I know it's going to be good, whatever it is. It can't be otherwise. So I just kind of do what I do and hope people like it. And as long as you're having fun, I think that's all that really matters, you know?
Simply put. Well, Critter, thanks so much. I look forward to seeing and hearing you all on Saturday. So safe travels.
Thank you. We'll see you in Owensboro.
All right. Thanks, Critter.
Okay.
That was Critter Fuqua, the guitarist and banjo player for Old Crow Medicine Show. He and his gang will take the stage at Yellow Creek Park at 8:40 on Saturday. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to shift gears and talk about the artistic elements at Romp.
Support comes from the New Harmony Music Festival and School, taking place July 7th through the 13th. Celtic and classical concerts and workshops in the historic venues of New Harmony, Indiana. Details at newharmonymusicfest.com or 812-472-4321. The New Harmony Music Festival and School, sharing life in the presence of music. Support for WNIN comes in part from Rabun Tire and Auto Service, a proud sponsor of WNIN programming. Rabun offers a selection of tire brands including Michelin and Goodyear, along with complete auto service and recommended maintenance by trained technicians. Information on the web at RabunTire.com.
Swimming, but now I'm a bigger boy and I like to go with women.
Taste of the Wood Brothers from last night with that amazing bass solo by Chris Wood. Not too shabby. Well, we're going to take a little step away from the sounds of Romp into the sights and the sensations. It's a very sensory experience, and part of that is the art. Fred Hillenbrand, whose name you may recognize from Tin Man, he's the sales manager there. Fred and local artist Warren Hayes teamed up to create a PG-rated puppet act, Beaumont and Grin, who'll be performing in Romp's Kids Zone. They're also behind the 14-feet-tall puppets on stage, and this year there's even a light-up robot.
Fred Hillenbrand.
Warren Hayes.
Co-founder and creative director, and then you'd be...
I'm a co-founder and social robot.
Head manager.
So... puppets. How did you get started bringing these to Romp?
Well, I guess it started with the Bluegrass and Blues in the Berg that we did
the Beaumont Grin.
3 years ago. The Beaumont Grin. But I was making some puppets with my kid, and Jim Henson was always a favorite of mine. So we made these simple little hand puppets, and then it kind of made me think, man, I could make some really nice ones. So I started making a bunch of nice ones, and I had about four or five of them. By that time, Fred just moved back into town, into Evansville.
I was gone for about 18 years. Yeah. Had a family out of Evansville, came back. We went to high school together. So
we were high school friends.
And then we started hanging out again, and he was like, man, check these puppets out. And I was like, holy moly, so these puppets are fantastic. We need to do something with these puppets.
So we did, and we...
my goodness.
We went to... Well, the Bluegrass Blues in the Berg was coming up, and they wanted to put on some YouTube videos of something that would grab people's attention.
We started talking about puppets. Somebody picked up a book and saw Kermit, and they're like, "We need puppets for the fest." So as soon as they said that, I called him. I was like, "You got to get some puppets ready. We have a show." So then it just kind of went from there. We did a show on main stage. We did one song.
Yeah. So yeah, we did. We created a. A bluegrass duo of puppets that would do songs. And it was initially just to promote that festival.
Yeah.
So once we did the main stage act on that show, some of the romp people were there watching and asked us to come do romp.
We did some visual arts there, too. We had these big, gigantic, instruments made out of roofing foam. And we kind of got some ideas from friends and... Bob Cisadney helped us out with a bunch of stuff, a local artist in Evansville, and we just kind of went from there and just kept getting ideas and just put it all together. We started, I designed mine, so we had ZZ.
So, we created his character from scratch, and we built it together, so it fits his personality pretty well. So
it does.
We kind of had this... We have this kind of natural banter. So a lot of our stuff, because we're so busy doing so many other things, we'd get to the showtime and it'd be like, okay, what are we going to do? You know,
sit in our car at 110 degrees and record.
We record a song on a laptop and just be like, all right, we're going to do this song. Let's get it down so we can lip sync while we're playing with the puppets. But everything else is just completely improvised on the spot. So we're just kind of railing on each other or whatever. And
So literally before you brought these huge, massive, larger-than-life puppets. You were puppets yourselves, is what you're saying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Sure.
That's where it all begins. But
that's our parents' fault.
Absolutely. If you got to blame somebody.
It always starts there.
But we also have kids, so we kind of have fun.
It kind of came full circle. For me, it was a chance to really do, like I said, I was doing these little hand puppets with Chauncey, my kid, and then I was just came back around to it. I was just like, God, I loved the Muppets, and I wanted to do something in that vein. Absolutely.
But then we started talking, and we did a lot of research, and we were like, we saw these big puppets, and we were like, we can do something like that. And we kind of got a bunch of designs together. We did a lot of research and looked at everything, and then we got a hookup with the Mesker Zoo, and we got a lot of bamboo. So we went and harvested bamboo and took it all back and then started working on these puppets, and it's a backpacking system with bamboo, and then the owl has lots of sheet and fabric on it.
It's very basic. It was just kind of like a drill, duct tape, and a sewing machine, and it's like stuff you could just find anywhere. It's like a tomato cage and upholstery foam and pool noodles and all that cuff stuff just kind of thrown together, and then sew a skin onto it with cheap sheets, and then you got a larger-than-life character.
And that's why I love it. It's very handmade looking, but they have personalities when they're up on stage. It's so cool. And when I first saw them last summer, that bird, actually, that owl back there I saw, it kind of reminded me of Kentucky folk art or like things I'd seen in quilts or wood carvings. Is that kind of where some of the designs came from, or is that just coincidence?
I think absolutely. I do a lot of painting as well, and it's very kind of based in folk art, and I paint on scraps of wood and stuff like that as well. So, that's kind of ingrained in what we do. Plus, we're also limited by budget and limited by materials on hand.
And time. And last year, we brought him to Romp, and we had Anubis finish what we thought.
Yeah, but we had to rework him.
We put him on for the first time out here, like right over here.
Yeah, he was about 3 feet taller, and it was just way too much.
He was falling, and we couldn't control it. So we were like, what are we going to do? So we figured it out, cut him down to size a little bit. And then I guess the owl, we had been working on it, but didn't know if it was going to make it.
Yeah, we were about ready to just give up on it and just be like, look, we're not going to get it done.
But the Deadly Gentlemen were on stage, and like, you can come on stage with us at 7:30 prime spot, you know, and we had to get it done. So that, but there's about 14 of us, his brother, his mom, my wife, all of our kids, everybody like jumped in.
Sewing machine, glue guns,
people were tacking
going crazy.
Stuff. It was nuts.
It was like a Guatemalan sweatshop. But we got it done like literally 10 minutes before we had to get on.
At least half American.
Yeah. Nobody got paid anyway. So it's
well, yeah, that's what I wanted to know. What does it look like, you know, doing choreography with a band? Because you said you talk with them a little bit before, get a feel for what their set is and what would work. And what does that look like?
Well, we don't know, because last year it wasn't planned out. It was just come on stage with us, and just me and him went out with him and just smiled and danced. And it was like, oh, my God, this is awesome. We're on stage. So that's all it was. But this year it's more it is going to be a little more choreographed. You know, talk to the Boston boys, and they've got an idea. We're going to sit down and talk with them tomorrow and kind of finalize everything. They're going to be like, okay, this is when your cue is to come on. This is what you're going to do. And then they're actually going to the drummer and the two robots are going to stay on stage, and then all the guys of the band are going to leave, and then they're going to pick up the bird heads and walk around stage with the robots, with the bird heads, and then they're going to go off and then come back on and just jam out. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And then I was talking to Dominique Leslie today. I didn't even tell you yet, but I saw him when I was driving the golf cart around, and he was like, I have this perfect song for the Brotet when they're playing. He's like, it's like a battle between this and this. He's like, we need to have a good side over here and a bad side over here. So we got to figure out kind of how that's going to
be.
Yeah, and just kind of like, it's going to be a battle.
I'll be evil.
Whatever.
So the puppets are kind of like visual interpretations of the music, too.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, Fred, one question for you. I know you've been involved in other music festivals, Forecastle and Bonnaroo.
I worked Forecastle 4 years in a row, 2 years independently with
What do all these artistic details lend to a music festival?
It's the energy, the flow, you know, it kind of, that visual stimulation when you're just, people are jamming out to the music, you know, and just loving it. And then these huge, massive things come out, and they're like, oh, my goodness. It's just the whole package. And Romp, I think Romp, I've been to so many festivals in my life, and Romp is my favorite. And we're so happy to be a part of it. And then that energy keeps rolling, you know. I have goosebumps right now. It just feels, this is where we need to be. And Romp is one of the main attractions, I think, main bluegrass festivals in the Midwest. And it feels good, you know. You get back to your roots. Everybody loves to just get out and dance, bring their kids, and we're all a part of that. You know, the puppets, the big puppets, the kids zone. My wife is in charge of the kids zone. She runs it. We've got all kinds of activities happening for kids because we have a lot of kids ourselves. And it was just like, we need to go to a fest. I don't really want to take my 10-year-old to Bonnaroo, but the Romp's perfect. You know, people just bring their kids, bring a camper, bring a tent, hang out. Have a great time.
It's an everybody fest.
Oh, for sure.
There's old people hanging out with moonshine.
Oh, and if you have some, come find me. We'll have a big puppet. Bring us some moonshine.
But I think, too, it's like you got a lot of people who are from this area, and it's like, they, you know, they'll come to this park, just walk around and stuff, and then to come and see it just like with crazy amount of hillbilly chandeliers up in the trees just glowing, or windsocks and bottles hung up in the trees. It's just, it becomes kind of a surreal place and just really enhances the overall experience.
Blacklight Village that we're going to, well, Blacklight Pathway, I guess, is what it's going to be.
Yeah, we'll see what it is when we get it done, because we have no idea at this point.
We have a lot of stuff for it, though.
It's going to be cool. Regardless, but
we might do it tonight in the middle of the night.
Yeah, we'll have to look at it and then decide what we're going to call it, I think.
Are you getting paid for this?
We basically get reimbursed for materials, and that's about it.
Awesome. I'm so happy that happens, that we're not just losing money.
Paying money out of pocket. Yeah. But
Romp takes care of us, for sure.
It's payment for the soul, though, is what it is. It rejuvenates me. It makes me just like, gosh, I don't make a whole lot of money as an artist, but it's so great to just have people, kids, adults, people just coming up to you and saying just like, you know, it just really made it. And you know, Romp won that award last year.
Yeah. Oops. The distinguished governor's art award.
Governor's Art Award for best festival in the state.
We got to go with them and just watch them accept the award. It's pretty awesome.
It was a great ceremony, and it was just kind of, you know, like just another pat on the back, just being like, okay, we're definitely doing something right here.
But for you all as a team, like an artistic, creative team, to grow and be able to do more, if that's what you want, what would you need to make that happen?
I think it's happening right now. You know, I don't think that... I think that together and with the festivals that we do, and especially the ROMP, you know, if we get our materials paid for right now and we do everything that we're just enjoying and loving, then, I mean, we've made it. That's where we want to be.
We do a lot of stuff just pro bono as well, and it's fine. It's fun. You know, once we start getting paid, then I think we're going to just start feeling really pressured about, like, oh, my God, we just can't wing it anymore. We're going to have to actually put stuff together and be worried about what other people think. Right now, it's just like there's no expectations besides our own, you know, what we want to give and how cool we want to make it. And that's the bottom line right now, which is it's a great place to be as an artist.
And plus the community, you know, we've got a lot of people that are coming in and asking us to do things. And we've done some benefits for the Alhambra. We've got
Franklin Street Events Association.
We've got the Parks Fest coming up that we're going to do some stuff for September 13th at Garvin Park. There's a couple of things that are down the pipeline, but right now it's ROMP time.
This is our big festival every year, and we pour a lot into this.
Do you all have a favorite puppet, one that's like near and dear to your heart? Or?
Well, mine's got to be little Jimmy Beaumont, who's my character in the Beaumont Grin.
Jimmy, say hi, Jimmy.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing good.
All right.
Yeah, we're ROMP again.
ROMP it up.
Yeah, ROMP.
Thanks for talking with us.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Awesome.
Anytime.
Good to talk to you.
I get such a kick out of that. That was local puppeteers Warren Hayes and Fred Hillenbrand. I caught up with them Wednesday as they were decorating and cooling off with some ski and whiskey on ice. But this next interview dovetails off my conversation with them. I talked to Alex and Maria Maurer, who also put in a little bit of artistic talent into ROMP. And Alex Maurer is planning on bringing some music festival magic here to Evansville in September. Alex, I wanted to start with you. How did you get linked into ROMP Festival or get involved with ROMP?
I met Fred Hillenbrand, who is a big festival goer, organizer. He helps out with ROMP, but I met up with Fred for another project that I think that we'll talk about, and he saw my enthusiasm for the other project, and just through communication and over a couple beers, Tin Man beers. Yes.
I had a feeling
you can't drink any other beer around Fred other than Tin Man beers. I don't think he so much as asked us, as just kind of handed us projects to do.
Well, and so what capacity have you gotten your hands dirty at ROMP this year?
Well, the big thing was your thing, Maria.
The flags that they are going to display, and they are made out of old sheets sewn into flags. And we were just handed the flags and told, do whatever you want with them. Just create what you want. Art-wise, that's how we got into that. And then we were also helping them with some other display projects.
They're taking old hula hoops and wrapping them with Christmas lights to create just big, giant, lit-up dream catchers. I think that they're planning on hanging from trees, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then also taking old like kickballs or just, you know, kids' play balls and wrapping those with Christmas lights as well and hanging those from trees too.
And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to do an element about the decorating and the art that goes into ROMP, because I think it creates a very unique experience for the festival goer. It's not like you're, you know, just thrown into a huge mass and in a field and you're listening to great music maybe, but there's like little touches here and there that add to it, mm-hmm. make it unique. But these flags, Maria, that you were talking about, I creepily saw on Alex's Twitter that they're elaborate. You did really beautiful pieces. Could you tell me about that?
Thank you. The first one we did was the owl. That's the bird of ROMP. I got the inspiration from a statue I have in my house, and So I drew it, and my mom painted it, and that's how it went for every flag. We painted a blackbird, kind of looking like a crow. The third one was my favorite, and is a lot of people's favorites. It's a guy sitting on a fence post playing the banjo. The ideas came from all different areas. It's just kind of what struck me, and we had a lot of fun doing it. We did it while we were on vacation at Lake Barkley last week.
I think a thing of love right there. I mean, that it just, for somebody visiting Owensboro or Kentucky for the first time, my impression is they would see that and think, wow, people outdid themselves.
I'm really excited to see everyone else's. It's just going to be so many different people's expression of art.
Aside from Romp right now, what big project do you have in store for this side of the river?
Well, you were kind of talking about how, you know, somebody going to Owensboro for the first time and maybe seeing Romp and just their impression. You know, Evansville doesn't really have that, you know, that music festival or that big event that people can talk about or be excited about. But we want to take kind of what's going on with Romp, kind of what's going on with Handy Fest and Henderson and kind of, you know, create that in Evansville. So on September 13th in Garvin Park, we're going to hold the first ever Parks Fest Music Festival. It's an all day event, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. We'll have roughly 10 bands, all kinds of different music. There's no set genre. Not everybody likes the same thing. So try to, you know, appeal to everybody. Mm-hmm. So music all day long. We'll have food booths set up on the streets of Garvin Park. We'll have a art and craft vendor, like, marketplace.
Well, and I wonder, because Fred Hillenbrand has his fingers in this project, too. The festivals you mentioned, Forecastle, Romp, Summer Camp, each has their own theme woven into it. Mm-hmm. Is there a theme in mind for Parks Fest or kind of an experience that you're looking for to brand it?
Yeah, and I think it's kind of in the name. You know, it's Parks Fest. It's in, you know, it's in Garvin Park, and that's, you know, the whole idea is kind of, you know, it's very very nature you know, centered, I suppose, maybe green. We are bringing in a it's the guy, his van, it's a completely solar van. It's called KC and the Sunshine Van. Very creative. And we're bringing him in, and he's going to power the stage. So we'll have a completely solar-powered stage. So the theme, you know, is kind of, you know, centered around the park and trying to create a great experience in Garvin Park, and hopefully, you know, the next weekend, you know, families come back and maybe have a picnic or something, you know, kind of change the mindset of Garvin Park and really showcase its beauty.
Thank you all for joining me. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for having us.
That was Maria and Alex Maurer. You can follow Parks Fest on Twitter at Parks Fest. We're going to take a quick break. Then we have one more musician on the line who's performing tonight at midnight.
Support comes from the New Harmony Music Festival and School, taking place July 7th through the 13th. Celtic and classical concerts and workshops in the historic venues of New Harmony, Indiana. Details at newharmonymusicfest.com or 812-472-4321. The New Harmony Music Festival and School, sharing life in the presence of music.
I have Thomas Oliverio from Bon and the Mash on the phone. Thomas, how are you doing?
Hey, doing well. How are you today?
Good. It's good to hear from you. You and your gang are performing tonight at midnight on the late night stage. What do you have lined up for us?
Oh, that's right. We're going to be there for the late night set, and I believe we'll start at midnight.
And it's been described as an Americana dance party. Is that kind of the edge that is connecting younger listeners to Americana or roots music, is that danceability? Thomas, can you hear us? All right, I think we might have lost Thomas, but that's...
I'm here. I hear some background music, some NPR waiting room music.
Oh,
there it goes.
Sorry about that, Thomas.
Hi.
We have just a few seconds left on our program, but tonight for the late night performance, it's been described as an Americana dance party. Is that what's become of roots music? Is it kind of an escape for young people from our concrete, digitized lives, just a way to reconnect with our roots?
Well, I don't know about that, but everybody likes to have a good time and kick back and dance and hang out under the stars for a night. We're going to be at the Yellow Creek Park and a couple great Kentucky musicians, Ricky Skaggs and Sam Bush, are going to be on the main stage. And then when they finish, Bon and the Mash from Western Kentucky, Paducah, we're going to fire it up and take it in to the AM.
Well, we're looking.
We've gotten roped into doing these late night sets at festivals in the last few years. And I'm not sure if it's because our band can stay up the latest out of all the other bands or what, but we'll be playing from midnight till 1:30 or so.
All right. Well, we're going to have to
cut
you off there, Thomas, but we'll be listening. It'll be a homecoming for you. This is The Trend on WNIN-FM, Evansville, Henderson, and Owensboro.